Well, can I welcome you all to God's house this morning? We're glad to see you here. We're glad that you've found your way here in these icy conditions. And we're trusting the Lord for his presence and for his help this morning as we look to him and meet around his word. We want to commence worshiping God this morning by singing paraphrase number 2. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. A paraphrase of testimony, fitting perhaps that we should sing it on this, the first Lord's Day of 2021, giving thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his faithfulness in the year past, and looking to him for the year to come. Let's remain seated and sing this paraphrase together. Before God, seek his presence with us this morning. Perhaps we could stand to change our position as we come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, we come once more into thy presence this morning, and we echo the words of praise that we have been singing together. We thank thee, our Father in heaven, that we can say with full assurance and from the experience of the year past, O God, that thou art a faithful God, that thou hast been with us throughout 2020. Thou hast been there through the good times and the bad. Thou hast held our hand in the difficulties and the trials we have faced. O God, our Father, we testify to these truths, even individually and personally this morning. We testify to these truths, even as a congregation. Lord, thou hast been with thy people here. Lord, thou hast blessed thy people here in strange and uncertain circumstances. And Father in heaven, we praise Thee for Thy faithfulness to us. And Father, even as we give Thee thanks afresh this morning for the year past, O God, we recognize we do not live in the past. We realize, our Father in heaven, that a new year has dawned. And we pray that it would be a year of blessing. Our Father in heaven, we pray that it would be a year in which Thy people here would take ground for Thee. We pray that we would walk closer with Thee in 2021 than we have ever done before. We pray that we would rededicate ourselves to Thee on this, the opening Lord's Day of this new year. We pray that we would consecrate ourselves to Thee and to Thy will and to serve Thee here and now this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for all the temporal blessings. Oh God, we're met together here. And there's freedom and there's liberty for us to meet. Oh God, we thank Thee that there is a building here for us to meet in. We thank Thee for how Thou hast provided for all of our needs. We come from homes. We have clothes on our back. We have food in our stomachs. We have families. Oh God, we are a blessed people. And we lift our hearts to heaven this morning. And we cry out, great is Thy faithfulness. Oh God, we praise Thee. Father, more than that, we praise Thee for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We praise Thee, though, that in and of ourselves we are dead in trespasses and sins. We thank Thee that Christ came to this world. We thank Thee for the life that He lived. We thank Thee for the death on Calvary's cross. We thank Thee for the fact that Thou hast drawn us unto Thyself. Thou hast promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. Thou hast promised that no man will ever pluck the child of God out of Thy hand. Oh God, we give Thee thanks afresh this morning. It is our prayer today that our eyes and our hearts would be taken off the things around us and be fixed firmly on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh God, we cry to Thee as even we come to worship this morning that Thou wouldst cleanse us afresh. Oh Lord, in these moments of quietness and stillness, we pray that Thou wouldst prepare our hearts to hear the word of the living God. Oh Lord, we bless Thee that Thou hast spoken to us through Thy word day and daily for many years. And we pray, Father in heaven, that our hearts right now would be softened and prepared to hear the word of God. We pray that the word of God would be backed home by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that there would be fruit following the preaching of the word. We pray that all glory and honor would go to our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray for Thy presence here this morning. We pray even as we lift our hearts in praise, as we listen to the music, that our hearts would be lifted to Thee. We pray, our Father in heaven, that as we come to read the scriptures, there will be that holy hush that would fall on this place as Thy people listen to the speaking voice of the living God. Oh Lord, we pray as Thy word is preached, that Thou would give help and give liberty and speak into every soul. Lord, we pray for everyone that's gathered here this morning. Oh Lord, perhaps Thy children going on well with Thee. Lord, perhaps we need a rebuke. We need a word of encouragement. Oh God, we look to Thee. Thou knowest the state of every heart here. We pray for those perhaps who are outside of Christ. And they're found, oh God, in heaven in this place, week in, week out. Still unsaved. Oh God, melt our hearts. Oh God, bring them to Jesus Christ. Oh God, that this would be the first day of their new walk with Thee. Oh Lord, we believe Thou canst do it. At times our faith is weak, but we're looking to Thee. We believe. Help now Thou our unbelief. Oh God, rebuke us for our unbelief. Save souls this day. Lord, if there be one walking afar off, cold in heart, oh Lord, draw them back unto Thyself. Draw them back into close fellowship. Lord, we pray for those who would dearly love to be here this morning. Lord, they're not here. Maybe they're bereaved. Maybe they're struggling with sickness. Our Father in heaven, maybe they're shielding at this difficult time. Lord, as we read in the Scriptures and the Gospels over and over again, we read of the compassion of Jesus Christ. He looked on the people with compassion. Lord, we pray that those who are shielding, our Father in heaven, those who are having hard times at this time, would know the compassion of Christ. They would know a very special presence of the Lord with them. Oh Lord, we pray for our land at this time. We pray for our land in this, the opening Sabbath day. We pray our land would, oh God, once more know revival. We pray for those who are charged with making decisions in our land. Oh God, lead those people to Christ. Oh God, make a mighty move. Make thy arm bare in our land once more. We pray for Westminster. We pray for Stormont. We pray, oh God, for the hand of God. Oh Lord, we pray for thy will to be done. We pray for the congregation here. We pray that in 2021 thou wouldst lead thy people here. Be with the pastor. Be with him this morning, even in a time of holiday. Oh God, bless his soul. Lord, bring him back recharged and ready for the service of the true and living God. Oh Lord, stir his heart this morning. Oh God, we pray for the session here as they make decisions. Bless them. Encourage them. May they know that they are walking in the center of thy will. Lord, be with the committee as they make decisions as well. Give them wisdom from on high. Oh God, we look to thee. We look to thee for blessing. We look to thee for blessing in this, our meeting this morning. We look to thee for blessing in this, our land. And Lord, we remember those of thy children scattered right across this world. Oh God, bless the going forth of thy word. Help us now, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn in our scriptures this morning to Genesis chapter 12. First book of the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis, and the 12th chapter. We have here contained in this chapter God calling Abram. And Abram was to follow the living and the true God. We want to break into the center of this chapter 12 together this morning and begin reading there, and then a few verses into chapter 13 as well. Genesis chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 10. Genesis 12 and the verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will see of thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that, when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Amen. We end there at the close of verse 4, trusting and knowing that God will bless the public reading of his own word this morning. At this time, can I ask Mr. Whiteside to come and bring the announcements for the incoming week?
Good morning, everyone. It may be freezing outside, but we give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's precious and wonderful name. To those who are viewing via sermon audio and Facebook, I welcome. Glad to have you all with us today, and we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord has for us this morning. To this end, we give a special welcome today to Mr. Stephen Nelson, our student as assistant. These are the announcements for today and the rest of the week. Tonight at 7 p.m., the evening service, and Mr. Nelson will be back with us to preach a gospel message. Wednesday night at 8 p.m., midweek prayer meeting, the Reverend Amarnathy will conduct the meeting. A short session meeting will be held afterwards. Sunday the 10th of January, 11:30 a.m. morning worship, the Reverend Abernathy will preach on the motto text for 2021. 7 p.m. the gospel meeting, the Reverend Abernathy will preach. There is a free will offering envelopes at the front of the hall, and if you haven't got them yet, see David McGaw and he will provide you with them. Thank you.
Just before we come to the word this morning, Mrs. Halliday and Mrs. McMurray are going to come and play a short instrumental for us, and whilst they're coming to do that, can I just thank Mr. Whiteside very much for his words of welcome. Can I thank you all for the warm welcome you always give me when I'm here? Appreciate it very much indeed. And again, as we said before, we come to God's word this morning. We look to the Lord for his help and for his presence. Thank you. Again, we thank Mrs. Halliday and we thank Mrs. McMurray for playing for us this morning as we come to Genesis chapter 12 and into chapter 13 as well. Perhaps we could take a moment and seek the Lord's presence with us. Perhaps once more we could change our positions just for a few moments and stand as we seek the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here this morning. We thank Thee for the promise that the Word of God shall endure forever. And our Father in heaven, we lift our prayers to Thee this morning. And we pray for Thy help as we come to Thy Word. We pray that the Word would be preached with simplicity. And Lord, that Christ would be seen. And that the Word would be backed home by the power of the Holy Ghost. Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth. O God and Father, may that be the attitude of every heart here this morning. We pray that the Spirit of the living God would come now and speak into our hearts. Help us to preach Christ in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Switch it off and then switch it on again. Switch it off and then switch it back on again. If you have anything like the knowledge of technology that I have, that will be your solution to every problem that happens in regards to mobile phones, computers, or anything else like it. Switch it off and then switch it back on again. That is the extent of my expertise when it comes to technology. When things go wrong and the screen freezes or the apps won't work, nothing seems to be working the way it should, I will switch it off and then switch it back on again. Restart it. Reset everything in the hope that everything will go back to normal. You know, men and women, whenever we think about a new year, that's often what people like to do. They like to press the reset button. They like to restart things. They want a fresh start. The old year is past. And now a new year has begun. Let's start over. The new year means that many people will reflect on things in their life. And maybe they will consider things that have gone wrong in the past year. Things about themselves they don't really like. They will look to the new year and think, well, I can make improvements in my life. Maybe there are improvements I could make to my material ownings, what I have. Maybe there are improvements I could make to my character. And people do that. They make New Year's resolutions. For the Christian, of course, whenever the new year comes in, it's a time of reflection as well. We naturally think of a year ended and a new year begun. Perhaps the Christian should then ask himself the question, have I gained ground for the Lord in the past year? 2020 is over. But as I look back across that year, did I gain ground for the Lord? Am I closer to the Lord now than I was at the start of 2020? Maybe we have to ask a more searching question and be honest and say, well, have I lost ground for the Lord in the year that has passed? And as we look at the year that is to come, we ask the question, well, how can I grow? How can I grow in the Lord? How can I serve the Lord? What opportunities can I avail of to grow closer and to serve the Lord with all of my heart? When we reflect in this way, it's natural we realize that in many ways we have fallen short. We've let the Lord down multiple times in the year past. And so we repent of that. We confess our failings to the Lord. And then we look to the Lord afresh, we rededicate ourselves to Him and ask for His strength and His grace in the year to come, that we would take ground for Him, that we would go forward and grow in grace. In Genesis 12 and 13, we see that Abram had such an experience. In many ways, he went back to the start. He pressed the reset button. He realized that he had failed the Lord. He had made mistakes. And so he sought to retrace his steps, seek the forgiveness of God, and go forward and grow in grace. And so in the time that remains this morning, we simply consider a fresh start for Abram. A fresh start for Abram. And firstly, here as we look at these verses from halfway through chapter 12 to the start of chapter 13, we see Abram is rebuked by Pharaoh. Abram is rebuked by Pharaoh. Genesis 12 and the verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" Abram is rebuked by Pharaoh. Now this must have been something of an embarrassing experience for Abram. You think of that. Abram had let the Lord down. And now Abram is being rebuked for his foolish behavior by a pagan king. A pagan king is rebuking a servant of God. How embarrassing. Let's consider exactly what happened here in chapter 12. Of course, in the opening verses of chapter 12, which we didn't read together this morning, we see that Abram is called of God. He is to go out. He is to follow the living and the true God. He is to go to that land of Canaan. It is that land that the Lord would give to Abram. We see in these verses that Abram, or the Lord, actually appears to Abram. He gives Abram a promise. "I will give you this land. I will give you many descendants." These are the promises Abram gets from the Lord. And then in verse 10 we read that famine hits the land. Abram comes up against a challenge. And of course the Christian, the believer, will face challenges. If we are to follow the Lord, there will be difficulties. There are hardships to face. But look at how Abram responds to this challenge. In the midst of this famine, Abram looks around him. And he concluded that Canaan could not sustain him or his family. There wouldn't be enough food here for him. He looked and he saw Egypt, a land that was prosperous. He saw that there was provision there. And instead of trusting the Lord who had given him promises, he turned his back and he went into Egypt. He disobeyed. He forgot the promise of God. After everything that had happened, after the Lord had called Abram and promised so many things to Abram, Abram forgot the Lord. Instead of trusting the Lord, he starts to scheme. How am I going to preserve my own life? I know I'll go to Egypt. And Abram then has taken the first step in the wrong direction. He's not looking to the Lord. He's seeking to sort things out for himself. Notice what he does. He moves into this land of Egypt. He intends to sojourn there. And as he moves into this land, he realizes that the men of the land will look at his wife Sarah. Sarah was an attractive woman. That's what it says there in verse 11. This being the case, Abram fears for his life. "They will kill me, because they will want Sarah to be their wife." And so he asks Sarah, he says, "Tell a half-truth. Tell them that you are my sister." That is a shameless act of self-preservation. Where was Abram's concern over the safety of his wife? Where is the selflessness that is to mark marriage? Abram was putting his own wife in danger. What could have happened to this woman? What a contrast we have when we consider Ephesians chapter 5. Because of course in Ephesians chapter 5 and throughout the New Testament, there is the picture of Christ the bridegroom and the church the bride. And how the bridegroom Jesus Christ loves the church. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also hath loved the church and gave himself for it." There's love. Christ giving himself for the church. That kind of love isn't evident in the words of Abram. Abram seeking to preserve his own life, regardless of the results. When we look at all of this happening here, we see that Sarah is then noticed by Pharaoh's men. And we say, what a mess. What chaos. What a mess. And how has this all been brought about? Because Abram ignored God's will. Abram forgot God's promises. Abram thought he knew better than the Lord. And how lives have been ruined because believers thought they knew better than the Lord. We've seen that. Maybe even this morning you can testify that you have experienced that. You thought you knew better than the Lord. You thought you knew better than His will for your life. And you've reaped the rewards. And they're grim. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. And cost you more than you want to pay. We've heard that so many times before. To the extent that some people almost despise that counsel. You're only saying that. You're just trying to prevent me having fun in this life. No. Look at Abram's life. He started down the wrong track and he went further and further down that track and chaos was a result. I ask you this morning, have you been there? Have you taken one step on that road of sin? Something you knew you shouldn't do. But you convinced yourself. Well, I'm only going to take one step. I won't go any further than that. Where did you end up? How far down that road of sin did you travel? You reflect this morning on 2020. Can you say that there was a moment in the year past where you took a step in the wrong direction? How far down the road of sin have you trod? How far have you fallen? Maybe you can say in the year past that you knowingly took a step outside of God's will. God required you to do something for Him, but you failed to trust Him. And you tried like Abram did. You tried to sort things out for yourself rather than looking to the Lord. And now you're not in the place where you ought to be. This morning there's something piercing. There's something powerful. There's a challenge here for each and every one of us. Every one of us who trusts and professes Christ as our Savior. This isn't an exercise in me standing here pointing the finger at other people. We've all fallen short in 2020. We've all taken steps that we shouldn't have taken. We've all let the Lord down. But listen, we should learn from Abram's mistake. And in all of these events, God was faithful. Abram wasn't faithful. Abram went astray, but God was faithful. And even in the mess that Abram had made, God intervened. Why? Because God is faithful to His promise. The promise had been given. The land would be for Abram. There would be descendants for Abram. Therefore, the Lord intervened. Pharaoh's house was plagued. Sarah was released. Sarah and Abram were sent away. Oh, we stand amazed when we remember that our God is in control of all things. What He has promised will be fulfilled. And Abram should have remembered that. Had he remembered that, he would never have found himself in the circumstances he was in. And then we read these words of rebuke found in verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" How sad. How miserable. A pagan king, the leader of a wicked land, rebuked the servants of God for their sin. Egypt was a wicked land. It was a land of idolatry. It was a cruel land. It was an immoral land. And through Pharaoh, the king of this land, Abram is rebuked. And we have to say this morning, sometimes the world puts believers to shame. Sometimes the world puts believers to shame. One American preacher says, there are men today who make no profession of Christian faith, whose honour and generosity would put many shame who claim a good standing in the church. And that's true. That's true. We see that. We see that with our own eyes. There are those people we come across and they claim to be believers. Maybe you've come across them in the workplace. Maybe in your community. These people who claim to be Christians and yet you look at their lives and sometimes you scratch your head. They're given over to gossip. They're unkind. They're constantly scheming. They betray people day and daily. And we ask the question, you claim the name of Christ, but there's nothing Christ-like in your life. And how we feel at times convicted even ourselves. How we let the Lord down in the workplace, in the family, wherever it may be. We're dishonest. We've said something we shouldn't. We've laughed at something we should not. And we have done all of this in front of unsaved people. Sitting in the staff room and work, somebody says something, you respond, you shouldn't have said it, you laughed at something you should not have laughed at. And there you are, sitting as a Christian, claiming that you are a Christian, pointing others to the Savior, and yet you're laughing and scoffing with the world. We've all done it. One man looking at these events here in Genesis chapter 12, speaking of Abram and Sarah, he says, they who had testified to others about God's power and faithfulness, who had followed God's call into a strange land and had enjoyed his protection, now had lost their testimony. How tragic. You've seen that happen. The individual following the Lord, pointing others to the Savior. And then that individual stumbles into sin and the whole testimony is thrown away. Of course, we let the Lord down. But let us consider our Savior. Matthew 26, you remember there that the sham trial that took place before our Savior's crucifixion. Matthew chapter 26, 59 and 60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. That is our impeccable, perfect, spotless Savior. And yes, Christian, we acknowledge that in this world we will never be perfect. But we look to Jesus Christ, our example. And we seek to live for Him each and every day. And we seek to live moral and upright lives. The testimony matches what we preach. And when we do fail the Lord, and we will, then again we think of this sinless Savior, the one who has paid the price for His people. And when we let the Lord down, we go to this Savior. We confess our sin. We repent and we push on. What else do we see in these events? We see Abram retracing his steps. Genesis 13 and the verses 3 and 4. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. We see Abram retracing his steps, having been rebuked, having been ashamed of his actions, thoroughly embarrassed at what he had done, saddened at how he had failed the Lord. He turns on his heels, he retraces his steps, and he gets back to the place he ought to have been. Sometimes, you know, we're given distractions, sometimes we're given directions. We're seeking to get to a destination, and somebody has provided us with directions, but we become distracted. We lose concentration. We take a wrong turn. And having taken the wrong turn, perhaps we have that stubborn attitude. Well, I'll be able to find my way back. And we carry on. And every mile that passes, we get further and further away from our destination. What do we have to do? Sometimes we just have to swallow our pride, turn the car around and travel back along the way we have taken. We must get back to that place where we took the wrong turn. And from there we follow the directions afresh. That's what Abraham did here. He got back to the place where he took the wrong turn. He went back to that place of close fellowship with the Lord. Only in retracing his steps, getting back to that place, could he go on with the Lord. One man says, Abram went back to his tent and altar and the life of a pilgrim and a stranger. Where did Abram return to? It says Bethel. He went back to Bethel. Bethel, of course, means house of God. He went back to the altar. There was no altar in Egypt. He went back to the place where he had met with God. He went back to the land of Canaan, the land that had been promised to him. He went back to the place where the altar had been built. He went back to the place where he had received the promise. He went back to the place where he had offered prayer. He went back to the place where he knew that special closeness of the living God. He had that precious memory and he wanted that again, that closeness with the Lord. And so he retraced his steps, went back to the Lord. I've wandered far away from God. Now I am coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Abram returned to the Lord. We read there that he returned to the altar. That's significant. Of course, the altar, that speaks of sacrifice. A sin had been committed, and when sin had been committed, a substitute must be offered to pay the price. And we see that in the Old Testament, the many animals that were sacrificed, of course, they couldn't take away sin. They were pointing to Jesus Christ. Only Christ could take away sin. Christ is at once for all sacrifice. And Abram had stumbled here. He had made a mistake. He'd fallen. He'd sinned. Do you know, as believers in this day, we have to say that we stumble, we sin, we backslide, we're cold, we're rebellious. And yet when the penitent heart comes to the Lord, we have forgiveness because of Christ. Those wonderful words in 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 1. These words are addressed to believers, to Christians. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Wonderful words. Because as believers, we stumble, we let the Lord down. But we remember that Jesus Christ is our advocate. We remember that we have forgiveness because of Christ. We see here, Genesis chapter 13, the repentance, the confession in the life of Abram. It was not enough for Abram simply to say, Lord, I'm sorry for going in the wrong direction, and then stay in Egypt. That doesn't work. The child that apologizes to his parents whilst continuing to disobey them will be chastened and disciplined. Abram could not say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for going into Egypt, and then remain there. He must repent. He must turn from his sin. He must seek to put things right in his life. And that's what he did. There was contrition in this man's heart. He realized what he had done. And he turned away from his sin. He retraced his steps and he went back to the Lord. I think of those wonderful words in Psalm 51, David recognizing his sin and David seeking to repent. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, our God is merciful. When we stumble, when we let him down, he will forgive. He will restore us when we return to him. We think of Abram retracing his steps here, going back to the Lord. We cannot help but think of our nation. The wrong turns that our nation has taken. steps down the wrong direction, and then another wrong turn, and another one. And we say this morning that our nation is ripe for judgment. We think of those wonderful words, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We think of our nation this morning. We think of the sins of our nation, the wrong turns that our nation has taken. Well, let's first and foremost look at our own lives. Look at our own hearts. For we've made mistakes too. The book of Revelation chapter 3, we see the Savior speaking to the church at Laodicea. A church that was neither hot or cold, lukewarm, a backslidden church. A church that had gone away from the Lord. And what does Christ say to that church? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." There's the promise. You look at your life this morning, you see some way in which you have failed the Lord. Perhaps you have grown cold or complacent. Well, there's the promise. The Lord will return. But you need to return to him. You need to retrace your steps. You need to ask forgiveness. The promise is, if you do those things, you'll be restored. Abram rebuked by Pharaoh. Abram retracing his steps. One more thing. Abram restored to the Lord. Abram restored to the Lord. Look at verse 4 of Genesis 13 one more time. "Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Abram restored to the Lord. He returns to Canaan. Now let's be aware that Canaan in itself was a land full of idolatry. The people around Abram were idolaters. And in restoring this altar, in returning to this altar, this was an act of public worship. All of the idolaters could see this. This was a bold act. Public worship was being reestablished. And Abram embraces the opportunity to return to his land. He and his family, before the people, would express their allegiance to the Lord. The sacrifices that point to Christ would be offered. And he and his family would live in the promises that God had given. He called to the Lord. That's what the verse says. Of course he did. He had much to speak to the Lord about. He must confess his sin. He must confess and repent of the ways in which he had gone astray. He must give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord had been faithful to him. Abram had gone astray, but the Lord had preserved Abram's life. In fact, the Lord had prospered Abram. He had much to give thanks for. But Abram also learned a lesson here. Because you continue down chapter 13, you will see that the strife arises between Lot's men and Abram's men. Too many people in a small area of land. Abram then says, "Well, Lot, you choose a portion of land and I'll go to the other. If you go right, I'll go left." That would mean that Lot could choose the land that was more prosperous, more fruitful. But Abram wasn't concerned. Because he knew that the Lord would provide for him no matter where he went. And even if he went to that land that was less fruitful, the Lord will provide. He'd learn from his mistake. Child of God, we need to learn from our mistakes. We look back over the past year. We see the ways in which we have failed the Lord. Learn from it. Repent of it. Look to the Lord afresh. You know, when we move through the book of Genesis, we come to Genesis chapter 20. We see that Abram makes the same mistake again. Again, he asks Sarah, "Say that you're my sister." And we look on at this and we marvel. Abram, after everything you've been through, after the Lord has dealt with you, how can you make this mistake again? The same way we make the same mistakes over and over again, child of God. Because we do. We make the same mistakes over and over again. We feel the Lord consistently. But in all of this, we see the grace of God. Despite the unfaithfulness of men, the Lord forgives. Despite our failures, despite the many ways in which we let the Lord down, He forgives. There's comfort there. There's encouragement there. We look, as I said, back on the past year. Well, maybe we haven't backslid. We haven't left off Scripture. We haven't ceased from praying. But we have to acknowledge perhaps there are some ways in which we have let the Lord down. Maybe there's a bitterness within our heart. Maybe there's complacency. Well, you remember this Lord who is faithful. This God who forgives and forgives and forgives again. And right now, at the outset of 2021, you confess your sin afresh to the Lord and you leave it behind. And you look to Him, look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. I conclude this morning with one verse of Scripture, immense comfort when we stumble, when we let the Lord down. Psalm 103 and verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Do you know this Lord? Do you walk with Him? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If He's not come, start this year in fellowship with the Lord. Because the promise is, if you repent, if you believe, if you're believing the Savior, you call to the Lord for salvation, you'll be saved for time and for eternity. Let's pray. Eternal God, we lift our hearts and prayers to Thee afresh this morning. We thank Thee that Thou art faithful. Lord, we confess that like Abram, we wander astray. But we thank Thee that Thou art merciful. Thou dost forgive us. We pray, our Father in heaven, that Thou wouldst show us the ways in which we have failed Thee in the year past. We pray that Thou wouldst give us the strength to repent and to turn our backs on those ways. And Lord, to look to Thee afresh and to live this year to Thy glory and to Thy honor. Take us to your homes in safety. O God, bring us back out tonight. In Christ's name, amen.